Thank you, Michael. Thank you, worship team. If you have a copy of God's Word, print or digital form, take it. Join me in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, kind of towards the end of that book. Lots of chapters in the book of Psalm, but find that. If you open your Bible roughly pretty close to the middle, you'll probably make it into Psalm, a chapter or two or five in there, and then 139 is where we're going to be this morning. I don't know is one of the most honest and yet frustrating answers that anyone can offer you. I don't know. Perhaps you have said it when asked a difficult trivia question. You think and you say, I don't know. Maybe someone has inquired of you about a particular location, a restaurant, or someplace. How do I get there? I don't know. Maybe, though, you've experienced that phrase, I don't know, through the betrayal of a friend or a loved one. Why did you do that? I don't know. Why would you ever say that to somebody about me? I don't know. Maybe you can remember during the pandemic. Some of you are going, please don't bring that up. The pandemic, when people would ask the question, when will things return to normal? I don't know. I don't know if they have. I don't know if they ever will. Moms and dads, you've been ask questions, and sometimes you feel like you need to have all the answers. When your child says, Mom, why is Dad wearing those bright shoes on Sunday morning? And she says, I don't know. You know your father. If I knew all the answers about that man, I'd have $1 million in my pocket. You know, when navigating transitions in life, remembering this truth is so important, and it is the truth that there is an unchanging God that we serve. That God is, a big word that we use, omniscient. And omniscient means that God is all-knowing and that he can help us navigate the changes that we face. Wayne and Elliot Grudem describe this attribute of God, the omniscience of God, in a book that they wrote called 20 Things That Every Christian Should Know. And here's what it says, a portion of in their book. God is always, at all times, fully aware of everything. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing surprises him. His knowledge never changes, nor does it grow. From all eternity, God has known all things that would happen and all things that he would do. See, God knows all things, past, present, and future. God knows all things real and potential. And the amazing thing about that is that God knows all of these things all at the same time. He not only knows what was and what is happening right now, today, in this moment in your life, he also knows what will be. And on top of that, he knows everything that could be and yet is not. That's how much he knows. Now, the Bible does not use this word omniscient. You can search the scriptures and you will not find the term omniscient in your Bible, but make no mistake, this attribute that God is an all-knowing God is very clear throughout the pages of our Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord is a God who knows. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, God knows everything. And then Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And so as you and I navigate transitions, there is comfort in the chaos of change, because knowing God knows even when I don't is so important. So would you stand in honor of reading God's word, Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 6. We'll read aloud together. Words are on the screen for us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open. Find your listening sheet there as a part of your worship guide. And let's begin in this new series of navigating transitions and understanding that we serve a God who knows. We can navigate these transitions in life because God knows even when we don't, and he doesn't just know information about us. He doesn't just know circumstances about us. As I told the children, he knows our name, but David says, first and foremost, he knows everything about you and me. David is saying this in the text that we just read. God, you know me completely. You have made a detailed inquiry into my life. And you know all my actions. You know all of my words, all of my thoughts. You not only know what I have done, you know why I did them. You know it all. And while we understand that to a degree, while we can acknowledge that God knows everything about us on a day-by-day basis, there are times in which we live in such a way that we somehow are keeping secrets from a God who knows everything. Or somehow we think that a God who knows everything about us has forgotten about me. And we ask the questions, God, why is this happening? God, don't you know I can't deal with this right now? And we wonder, has God just forgotten that I'm not capable of handling all of this? Has God just forgotten that I've had a similar experience, or what the pandemic did to my life and my faith and my family? Or you live in such a way that you try to hide something from the all-knowing God, thinking he won't see it, he won't find it. Maybe it's because we are afraid that if we truly understand and acknowledge and recognize that God knows everything about us, in some way within us we think, well, he's going to reject me, or he's going to judge me if he knows everything. It is hard for us to comprehend a God who can know the truth about us and yet still loves us. It's hard to comprehend that God can know everything about me and still accept me. Because the people I do life with and I run across on planet Earth don't always respond in that way. They know the truth about me. They don't always love me. They don't always accept me. But God does. The Hebrew word here in our text for the word know means to examine carefully or to explore. And it can even apply in some ways to a burglar who comes in searching for some kind of valuable possession. And so this word carries with it in the Hebrew language this idea of digging, scourging, if you will. David is saying that God knows him because he has scoured him. He has ransacked his life in every detail. And because he has carefully examined us, that is how he knows us. God knows the changes that you are facing right now, today, that you carried into this room that are difficult for you. God knows you don't have all the answers to all the questions that you are seeking answers to, but the truth is God holds the answers. When you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. God, I don't know where the money's going to come from. There is solace, there is comfort in knowing that God does. And while we may sometimes wonder how God can know everything, there should ultimately be this level of comfort in the truth of God's all-knowing, his omniscience. I like what J. Rodman Williams wrote. He said, the realization that God knows the way of a person's life, no matter how difficult the circumstances, can but bring a deep inner calm and assurance. He says, Jesus himself laid much stress on the importance of living with a constant recognition of God's personal knowledge of his children. He keeps a detailed account of your life. And as David ponders this very fact, as he wrestles and acknowledges that God knows him completely, he is blown away at this understanding. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. David can't even begin to understand, much less attempt to describe to you and me the depth of God's personal knowledge of his every action, his every thought, his every word, and yes, his every need. And the word wonderful that we read in our text in verse 6, in the Hebrew language, that word is put at the beginning of the sentence rather than in the middle. Why is that important? Because it would read a little bit different. Would read like this, wonderful is God's knowledge. It's too lofty, too high for me to understand or imagine. And I think it's because wonder and worship are always the proper responses to the attributes of God. that amazement that he does know everything should lead to this awe-inspiring understanding of who he is, and then draw me into this adoration of worship. And there's this pattern. Paul would respond in a very similar fashion as David has done. Paul writes in Romans 11, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has ever given to God that God should somehow repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And you might not know, but God does. He knows everything about you. And even in the transitions of life, the second thought is that God is always thinking about you. He thinks about us constantly. He knows everything about us, and he still likes us. We are known. Our knowable, holy, creative, ever-present God loves you. And he sees our entire life. From the very beginning, even before we start to grow in our mother's womb, he knows us. And he thinks about us. And even though he knows our every sin, his heart is fixed on us all the time. Jump down to verses 17 and 18 in Psalm 139. He says, "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you." Once again, David is overwhelmed. He's blown away as he pauses and he contemplates the greatness of God. And he doesn't understand how God could simply think of him all the time. And it made me think for a moment how I love my wife and I think about her throughout the day. And maybe you do the same with your spouse. And when you think about them, when God draws them to your mind, you text them or you call them, or "How's your day going? Is everything okay? I was just thinking about you." And you could never send enough text, or God could never send you enough. It would go off every millisecond of every moment that God says, "I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about you, I'm thinking about you." This word "precious" in verse 17 is a word for expensive jewels. Maybe you have something on today that would represent that, a diamond or something along those lines of the precious jewels in our world. David is saying that he treasures the realization that God thinks about him. And he's so involved in our lives that we can't even begin to fathom how many times in the day that God thinks about us. He says, if I were to try and count them, the number of times that I come onto the heart and mind of God, if I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand, not on a beach, but on every beach in the world. That's how much, how often God thinks about me. They're innumerable to count. It's impossible to understand. But that's because I serve a God who knows everything. God doesn't forget about us in the struggles that we face, the questions without the answers. God doesn't forget when we go to bed at night. No, he knows. David says, when I wake, I'm still with you. God doesn't forget when you're sleeping, when you're struggling, when you're navigating life. He knows all of it. The psalmist would write in Psalm 121, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And he knows you today, your name and everything about you. He thinks about you constantly. And so as you navigate the changes in your world, in your life, the challenge is understanding and asking, thirdly, for God to search you inside and out. Look at the last two verses of this great chapter, Psalm 139, 23, 24. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. What David mentions in verse 1, as a matter of fact that God had searched him, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. Now he makes it a matter of prayer in these verses. God, would you search me and know my heart? Would you try me and know my anxious thoughts? God wants us to invite him to search our lives. He's not a pushy God. He's not a forceful God. He loves you, and he wants you to ask him to do the work that only he can do, which is to investigate and to search out your life. The verb for the word search here, it's used for digging up the valuable minerals that can be found in a mine. You're kind of seeing a pattern of what is happening. And then he says this term, this word, test or try. And that word is used of examining those metals that you've dug up to prove their purity. I think most of us, when examining ourselves, when we do our own self-inventory of our lives, then we arrive at this conclusion that we're okay. Or maybe, at least in some way, I'm better than the other guy. I'm okay with all of this transition and changes. I'm doing my best. I'm okay, but I'm doing better than my neighbor or better than my coworker. Navigating transitions, though, require us to ask God to do the work that we're trying to do ourselves. I'm okay. It's fine. I don't know, it'll work, it's all, you know, itself out. It'll all be good. And we've convinced ourselves when we really don't know. We don't have a clue. But if we ask God, would you search me? Would you try me in this test of whatever I'm experiencing and going through, in the challenges and changes of my life and my world and my family, dig up and see that I am found pure. And once we understand that God loves us, once we understand that God thinks about us, then there is this willingness and this desire that we invite his investigation to happen. That he would dig into the depths of our being. We want him to road test our character. Why would we want that? Because God not only knows you, he knows you better than you know you. And he loves you, and he loves us too much to allow us to do things the way we've always done them. And God is not looking down at our world today, wondering what will happen next. When we don't know something, we stress about it. We have a full-blown panic attack. Could you imagine asking God, Lord, what is happening? What are you doing? And God responds to you by saying, I have no idea. Can you imagine praying to a God and saying, God, why is this happening? And he says, I don't know, but I hope it all works out for you. What a terrible God. God is not surprised. You are. With whatever you're dealing with, maybe it set you on your heels. Maybe it caught you off guard. Maybe you're wondering, when is all this going to end? God knows. And so find comfort today as you navigate all of life's transitions in knowing that God knows. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I am confident today in a crowd this large that there are those in this room and those watching online today who say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen next. But God, may they take a deep breath, a moment of pause, and relax, and say, I don't know, but I don't have to. Because God, you do. And I acknowledge you are omniscient. You are the all-knowing God, and nothing surprises you. Find peace and comfort in knowing that today. But maybe you're here today and you have never come to know Jesus personally, to enter into a relationship with him. He knows you. He loves you. He knows your name. And maybe this morning he has spoken to your heart and life, and he's calling you to himself. Would you respond today? In obedience, would you come to the God who knows you and desires to have a relationship with you? In a moment, we're going to stand, and our staff will be across the front. If you're here in the room ready to receive you today, to help you know Jesus, and maybe you would come to one of them and say, I don't know, but I want to. We're ready to pray with you and encourage you. Maybe you're more comfortable going to someone out in the area called Next Steps in our foyer with the same question, I don't know, but I want to know, and they're ready to receive you today. You're watching online, you can respond as well and say, I don't know, will somebody tell me? Yes, we will. You send us an email at nextsteps@huntersglen.org. We'll make sure you know. But maybe you know Jesus personally, and you think that you've hidden, that you have yet followed through in baptism. You think that he's forgotten about, that you're not connected to the local church like you should be. Maybe you know that God has put a ministry or a mission on your heart and mind, and you've yet to commit to follow through and to do it. Our staff's ready to help you today as well. Would you respond to the God who knows you? And so, Father, in our remaining moments, would you have your way with us? And we know you will. It's in the power of Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come. Let's stand together. Let's